I am Shruti and you're listening to Business of Brands podcast. When one reads a good book, they tend to immerse in the ever so charming world that the respective story opens for them. In this moment, they do not care what the first draft of the same story looked like or how many efforts were put in to bring this world to life or to provide the reader the soothing, effortless experience. Welcome to the Business of Brands podcast by Chi Cafe. In today's episode of Hear Me Out, we have with us the writer, editor, publisher Jyoti Sabharwal from Stellar Publications. She specializes in celebrity writings, biographies, memoirs, fiction, and travelogues. With an impressive record of publishing some really noteworthy books and remarkable stories, she set up her own publishing house in 2004. She's an excellent author and equally exceptional publisher. Welcome to the podcast, ma'am. Tell us your story. Take us through the journey from your journalism days to celebrity writing to publishing.
The journey of Stellar Publishers is so long drawn that one has to go back to the early 80s when I started my career as a journalist. Little did I know that in 1981, as a student of journalism at Dateline Delhi, I would be invited to interview Richard Attenborough for Yuvani at All India Radio. The die was cast, destiny was calling, and I turned into a celebrity writer over the years, having bagged so many exclusives, including the President of India, Gyani Zel Singh, in 1983 when I was barely 2 years old in the profession. I even got the reclusive Kamala Devi Chattopadhyay and Harivansh Rai Bachchan, Ali Sardar Jafri, P.N. Huxer, Shahi Imam, to name a few. And after this long journey in celebrity writing, when I turned to publishing in 1996 and commissioned a seminal volume, India at 50, Bliss of Hope, Burden of Reality, which I co-edited with the chief editor of Hindustan Times, V.N. Narayanan, to commemorate the golden years of India's independence, it was released by the President, K.R. Narayanan, and it received the first prize from the Federation of Indian Publishers. Now another die was cast. Destiny was calling again, and I was tuning in to publishing. This was followed by a seminal volume of Kiran Bedi's Prison Reforms, Straight from the Heart. This daring cop was so inspirational and so motivated that she impacted me in a big way. Now the next step was joining Macmillan India as a consultant. The very first book was Bachchan the Legend by Bhavna Somaiya, which nobody was willing to publish because in 1998-1999 he had been written off by the industry as his career graph had slided rapidly. But I had the sixth sense and it paid off. While we were working on that book, I transformed it completely, including his format, edited it rigorously, and as they say, when you do something passionately, the entire universe conspires to ensure that you meet with success. Just then, Mr. Bachchan was elected the Actor of the Millennium in a BBC online poll, and that swung the deal for us. Mr. Bachchan came to Delhi, we had a massive launch, and so did we have another launch in Bombay, and at ₹895, it was the most expensive book in the history of Macmillan India because they were essentially into educational and institutional books. I had started this series of trade publishing for them, and my last book with Macmillan India was Kapil Dev's autobiography, Straight from the Heart, which had the initial print run of 10,000 copies. After having penned each and every word, I receive a call from the MD that Mr. Dev wants Mandira Bedi to conduct the press conference. That was my hour of reckoning, so why should somebody else steal the show after my rigorous labor over 2 years and having penned every word in the book? I put my foot down, conducted the press conference. I was not on the podium at the dinner in the evening which Mr. Dev had hosted. I have always stuck to my principles and never taken anything lying down. So I put in my papers as a consultant of Macmillan, but I didn't know where would I be heading and what would I be doing. But as they say, when you tread the right path and you hold on to your principles, you get divine assistance, and I did. When I quit Macmillan, it was so gratifying that all other five names which I had signed, that included Mrinal Sen, Vasant Sate, Vaijanti Mala, Amrish Puri, and Begum Akhtar's renowned disciple Rita Ganguly, they all withdrew their books from Macmillan and they stood behind me. Now, that was a huge responsibility and I was in a serious dilemma. So what did I do? I sold my car, got rid of my chauffeur, invested my insurance policy and borrowed 2 lakhs from my mother and took off. So the inaugural title of Stellar was Mrinal Sen's memoir, Always Being Born, which was released by the Lok Sabha Speaker, Somnath Chatterjee, and by the Chief Minister of West Bengal, Buddhadev Bhattacharji, in Kolkata. So Stellar had a flying start with a stellar name. So the lesson one learnt was that when you aspire as a dreamer and break new grounds, it has to match your skills, your intellect. The ambition has to be in tune with your competence, because any endeavor which is not complemented by professional skills does not bear fruition. So always remember that ambition and skill go hand in hand.
Yours is such an enriching mind full of experiences, ma'am. How has life been ever since you established Stellar Publications?
I set up Stellar in 2004 and my life took a different turn altogether, because now I was an entrepreneur who had to muster resources, who had to work independently irrespective of any big banner, but create a brand and a banner with the name Stellar. So life became very hectic. A day in my life begins at 5 in the morning, which is meant to be the divine hour, where reading and writing acquires a special meaning, where ideas flow in your head uninhibitedly, where you can create beautiful lines, you can think so refreshingly. And then you have meetings with authors, you have to get in touch with your distributor, you have to look up your accounts. I mean, the entire activity underwent a complete change. So it was kind of a metamorphosis from just being a professional editor, writer, journalist to be conducting business too. And extremely tough and competitive for an independent lady professional to muster resources, to keep track of the inflow of your funds. And since one has dealt with the best and the brightest, the high and mighty, one has to also grapple with the egos of a lot of people and do it very gently. Because one thing which one has learned is that gentleness, humility, and courtesy are the three traits which will always sail you through. No matter what positions you hold, no matter which pinnacle of success you arrive at, never ever forget to be humble. And that is the most important lesson which one has learned from life.
That is indeed a very touching message, and for it to come from someone who has seen the industry so closely and so well means a lot to us. Ma'am, you have been a journalist as well as a publisher. Based on your personal journey, would you like to share the perks and challenges of being in this field, especially when, as you just described, one has to keep a track of everything from coordination to accounts handling and all?
Each profession has its perks and challenges. The essential difference between journalism and publishing is that as a journalist, you get an instant byline the moment you have filed a report or conducted an interview, and it gives you immense pleasure on seeing your byline. Now what happens as a publisher? In my case, since I held all the skills as a writer, editor, and producer of books, you take a back seat. Now, you are creating writing stars. You may be dealing with the best names, But when you give a finishing touch to copy, you ensure that there's not a single factual error or a proofing error, and your production is perfect in how it is placed and positioned and marketed. You are creating writing stars, but you stay in the background. But the pleasure that you derive from creating that body of work is phenomenal. So it's not that you don't get a byline, so you fade out or become a faceless editor. Certainly not. Quite the contrary. The very fact that you could bring that big name on board and document the life of those individuals who did such phenomenal work in the sphere of the country, but always chose to remain anonymous in terms of media glare, and you are able to convince them that their work should come into the public domain and read by a reader across the board. One such example was Dr. Kapila Vatsyayan, India's most outstanding scholar, who was internationally feted. And she was so reclusive that she never spoke to the media. And she gave me her very first interview in 1989, which was a full-page interview that appeared in the Bombay paper, the Indian Post. Having known her over 25 years, I eventually convinced that her biography should be done, and it was titled Float a Lotus Leaf. Here was a lady who took the first cultural delegation of 60 artists to the Soviet Union in the 1960s. And she was not only a cultural ambassador of India, but a scholar of great repute who built institutions, who had a big say in educational policies. And her scholarship and her humility was so inspirational. But for the fact that I had convinced her and she had enormous affection for me, that book probably would never have seen the light of day, and it would have deprived so many readers across the world to not get glimpses of what made this lady so phenomenal. So the point I'm trying to make here is that you have to keep striving all the time, but don't forget that unless you have impeccable credentials and enormous credibility, which can only be earned over the decades, you would nowhere be anywhere near these highly accomplished people, because they are also very clear and concerned about who they would like to talk to and who is the person at the other end who is going to document their life. So Stellar succeeded phenomenally in documenting the lives of the high-end achievers. And my latest publication, the anthology of Amrita Pritam, The Ninth Flower, Best of Amrita Pritam, is one such book. Because when I had transcreated her second autobiography, Shadows of Words, Akshron Ke Saaye, way back in 2001, it received so much mileage and huge excerpts in the media that she left her select body of work with me to be transcreated into English. It was released by the secretary of Sahitya Academy, who went on record to say that this is a great literary service to the country. So these are the perks. You may face financial wrangles, you may be financially challenged, but the spirit sails you through. The spirit to break fresh grounds, the spirit to document people who have played a significant role in the affairs of the country, be it literature, politics, arts, or any other sphere. And this is what keeps you going as a professional. And that is the ultimate reward.
I am Shruti, and you're listening to Business of Brands podcast. That is so beautifully said, ma'am. Since you have been in this line of profession for so many years now, and you have been in touch with so many people, why don't you share with our listeners some anecdotes or memories?
Now that I look back at my journey of 40 years, four long decades as a journalist, writer, editor, broadcaster, biographer, publisher, I wonder how one achieved all those milestones. But one thing was very clear. It was a sum total of my experience as a journalist that made me a successful publisher. And the demands and the needs were so different, because here, as a publisher, you have to put a body of work together, and it needs a terrific academic background, it needs literary flair, it needs oodles of patience for producing and editing books, and that can be very demanding and laborious. Just one factual error or a proofing error can mar the entire publication. In other words, you don't only have to aspire to be a perfectionist, you have to be a perfectionist. And not to forget that as a stand-alone professional, as a stand-alone publisher, you face such enormous competition with all those big corporate publishers in the ring. So how did one survive? And how did one face that competition? Through sheer intellectual excellence. And how one mustered those financial resources was so very challenging, but they got resolved. So at the end of the day, all one has to say is that wherever you excel, whichever profession you be in, it's a collateral endeavor. So many skills come into play, and they all have to be coordinated so beautifully that at the end of the day, you're not only gratified as a person, as a human being, as an intellectual, or as an individual, but also do proud to the profession where you have stepped in. So you have to tread very, very carefully in the world of books, because books are documented for posterity. So it's an extremely responsible and sensitive profession, because in journalism, bylines come and go, and the report that gets published today becomes stale tomorrow. But books live on forever. They are for posterity. Books never die. So to make those books memorable, you have to give them your best. And that's it. Thank you.
I think this is the perfect example of following one's instincts and giving it the best shot. Thank you so much for sharing all such inspiring thoughts with us, ma'am. Do you have any final advice for those who are aspiring to build a career in this industry?
There have been many amusing moments, and it's quite strange how I stumbled upon signing big names through sheer coincidence. I met Mrinal Sen in Calcutta when I was there to launch the book of a French writer. It was called Genius of India, and Mrinal Sen was on the panel discussion. I had Mrinalda on my left and the French counselor on my right, and I was giving him slips saying that he must pen his memoirs, and he kept dissuading me that he's not a reliable man and he's not disciplined enough to do it. But those tiny little notes led to further communication when I came back to Delhi, and I eventually signed his memoir, Always Being Born. Similarly, when a journalist writer from Kolkata, Partho Mukherjee, approached me that he wished to pen the biography of Rusi Modi, the former chairman of Tata Steel, what he sent me across was not only sketchy, but it was inadequate, which meant that I had to meet Mr. Modi in person. So it's very interesting that Mr. Modi invites me to Kolkata, gives me a stay at Bengal Club, takes me for lunch at Taj Bengal, gifts me a Titan watch, takes me around his beautiful palatial home, and at the end of the day says, don't do the book. Because now I'm on good terms with Ratan Tata, and if the rift was still on, I would have had no problems. Anyways, we did the book against his wishes, but we ran it through his man Friday to ensure there was no factual error. And look at the greatness of that man. Not a word was altered. And when it was released in Kolkata by the governor, Gopal Krishna Gandhi, Mr. Modi was well before time. And the next day, I received a call from his man Friday. Then Mr. Modi says, I would have made the biggest mistake of my life if I had not allowed this book to come out. Now, where was a man who had all his education at Eton and Oxford. Impeccable in his demeanor, a sophisticate to the core, and great command of the English language, given his British education. So it was so complimentary that the book went down so well with him. And 2 days later, when I was coming back to Delhi, at the airport, I picked up a copy of the Telegraph and I saw the headline, Rusi Modi's book, A Great Hit in Jamshedpur. That is where the Tata Steel plant was. So I followed my gut, I followed my instinct, made sure the book was immaculate and the production was flawless. So this is how reputations are built, laurels are earned, and credentials are made. There can be no compromise with your intellectual integrity, with your skills, and your ability to follow and create a benchmark of excellence.
Thank you so much for sharing all the insights and experiences with us today. You have played such a vital role in documenting and preserving some of the most significant stories of the independent India, and your contribution is truly unparalleled. With this, we come to the end of this episode of Hear Me Out, where we were in conversation with the founder of Stellar Publications, Jyoti Sabharwal. Keep listening to the Business of Brands podcast by G Cafe.